We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From the Mobile Pod World headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider from Learfield.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. Jones and Adam here with you. Adam, this is how I thought we would start the show. I would like for you, Adam, to say something nice that happened this past weekend. We need to get in a better headspace. What is something nice that happened, Adam? What was something good?
Just for the Tar Heels?
No, just
in life.
In life. Would you like me...
I finished reading a really good book.
Nice. Very sensible.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a book that George W. Bush wrote about his dad, George H.W. Bush.
I got to tell you, you are such a highfalutin reader.
Well,
like when I read like crime novels.
Well, this one was stepping out a little bit because it had been a Christmas gift because I'm not really sure why, but, you know, when George H.W. Bush died, I don't want to say I liked watching, but I enjoyed watching some of the specials about, like, that time. Because that time, like, that's our wheelhouse time. And so I just enjoyed watching that. So then my wife got me this book for Christmas. It was a great book. I really enjoyed it.
I went to cookout on Sunday.
Did you get the pod?
I just got straight. You know, I just go straight Oreo.
Right.
And it was delicious. It was the perfect cookout experience where in the moment it made me feel better. And then about an hour later, I regretted my decision.
But
not because the cookout was bad, but because I was like, oh, I shouldn't have eaten all that.
Right. I had the option to do better and I chose no, and I'm glad I chose no. But now I wish I hadn't.
I know.
Yeah. Well. See? I think that's good.
See?
Yeah.
There were still some good things that happened.
Yeah.
And, Adam, we also, because we're in a, you know, not a great mood today.
Right.
Bad weekend, bad result.
Yeah.
But there's another thing that we're doing today that's going to bring up everybody's spirits.
Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt.
We're hopping on the train.
Choo-choo!
Leaky Black's going to join us. Coming up here in just a little bit. So looking forward to talking to Leaky.
We were trying to figure out when to deploy Leaky Black.
Yeah.
The shining star of the Tar Heel basketball world. And we felt like today was the day.
It was like last year when we had David Noel at the perfect time.
Right.
It was like the Tar Heels were struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
We needed somebody to lift our spirits. And it was David Noel.
Yeah.
It's just like today, we're bringing in Leaky Black.
Don't even worry.
Yeah. We're going to make it.
Leaky's going to make it.
So... we'll get to that in just a little bit, but let's talk about this Louisville game. Adam, it was ugly. It was ugly statistically. It was just everything about it. made for a poor afternoon for the Tar Heels. And there's no sense in overreacting to one game because it's a long season. College basketball is long. You're going to have some high moments, some low moments. We know that. What I think is concerning about this game, though, is that it's in there. And it's the exact same thing that I said last year about Michigan State after that game. And I think this was very similar to that game and very similar to the Texas A&M game that eliminated the Tar Heels in the tournament. And that is, that performance is at least an option. And you don't see it very often. You don't expect to see it. But it's this team is capable of having a night like that. And that's concerning because if that happens in the round of 64, 32, 16, whatever, that's it for Carolina. And I thought Roy Williams, the most important thing he said in his post game, where he was obviously very frustrated, was that he needs to figure out a way to get his team or some verbiage to win a game, to play tougher when they don't shoot well. And I think that is – that's the story coming out of this game from Louisville, is the Tar Heels didn't shoot the ball well, and because they didn't shoot the ball well, you didn't feel like there was a path to victory in that game.
Yeah, and we talked about this some off the air, but I think there were really two parts to that game. Well, there actually were two parts to that game. There was the first half,
yeah,
which you can kind of excuse the first half. Carolina won a big game on the road. They were 2-0. It was a noon game on a Saturday. We've seen the Tar Heels before on many, many occasions come out and not play very well in the first half, but keep it reasonable, down by 9 at halftime. That's a manageable deficit at home against a team that you feel like you should beat on a normal day.
I think especially because Louisville shot so crazily well in the first half.
Crazily well.
Right.
Because when they were making all those threes, you were thinking, oh, let's just keep this to about 15. And instead, you got it down to 9, single digits. Okay, that's fine. You get the ball first in the second half. Got a chance to go down, score a touchdown. So the Tar Heels get the ball first in the second half. They run a great play.
Yep.
They get 2 points. It's down to 7. Here we go. We have all seen this before. Tar Heels going to chip away. Eventually, the visiting team's going to panic. Carolina's going to go on a big run. George Lynch is going to get a big steal and a dunk, and everything's going to be fine. Instead, the Tar Heels did not show up in the second half at all. Weren't there, hadn't seen them, don't know where they are. When they were there, they were throwing the ball away. At least 4, maybe 5 of those turnovers in the second half were absolutely just throwing the ball out of bounds, dribbling the ball out of bounds, just kind of throwing it away. Not errors of commission where you're trying to make something happen, but you're just kind of trying to throw the ball around the perimeter. They didn't look very focused. And Louisville was not great in the second half, but they were plenty good enough on a day that Carolina plays like that to win the game handily.
Carolina had more fouls and more turnovers than they did field goals in the second half. They only had 8 field goals in the whole second half. And I think there was one, and the game was long decided at this point, but there was one sequence that just summed it up where, well, I can't remember who, I think maybe Kobe White missed a layup, Luke May got the rebound, had a great look at a stick back, missed the layup, and it was just like, you could just see it. It was just like, oh, this just isn't our day. Carolina missed a ton of shots around the rim. They missed a ton of jumpers. I mean, they just couldn't get the ball in the basket. And so, but they're not equipped right now, or at least haven't shown that they're equipped, to then do what you need to do, whatever that is, to win when it's not going in at a high rate. And whether that's lock you down defensively, whether that's get to the line a ton and make shots at the free throw line, whatever it is, they just haven't found it and certainly couldn't find it on Saturday. There was no one individual that was the problem here, Adam. But I thought Kobe White picking up those 2 fouls early just threw the Tar Heels out of sync offensively. Kobe looked like a freshman playing in the ACC for the first time, where he just looked a little out of it, didn't have a field goal the entire game, had more turnovers than assists. In fact, Carolina as a team had more turnovers than assists, which almost never happens. I did think that him getting out so early just kind of threw everything out of whack.
Yes. And I think, too, that was followed later by Garrison Brooks picking up his customary two first-half fouls, one of which was not a great foul. And so at that point, then your rotations are really messed up, and you're putting some combinations out there you haven't had before. Brandon Huffman gave Carolina a couple of good minutes in the first half, not as good in the second half. It felt like this was a game where Sterling Manley might have been helpful because he was the kind of guy Louisville was using against Carolina, and the Tar Heels didn't have an answer. I mean, the Cardinals just did whatever they wanted to around the basket, and you just can't do that. I mean, it was about as un-Roy Williams-like a performance as we have seen under Roy Williams, and I think it's been 566 games now that he's coached at Carolina. That one was in the bottom five.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. It was the bottom one of home games, but it was in the bottom five of any performance overall, just because both what happened in the game and kind of the ramifications. I mean, Carolina's sitting there with a chance to go 3-0. At 3-0, you're feeling really good because then you got another home game coming up against a Notre Dame team that you feel pretty reasonable about beating. You've clearly established yourself maybe the first quarter or so of the way through the ACC season as you're one of those top teams. You got a couple road wins, feeling good. Now you're feeling anything but good, and you gave back essentially one of those road wins because you couldn't defend your home court.
Yeah, I think if you'd have said Carolina would be 2-1 after three games in the conference, you'd say, okay, I could see that, maybe split those first two road games and win the home game. But it was the position that they had the opportunity to go to. And I thought in the building, and I'm not saying from the team, I very much felt like in the building before the game it was, oh, this is the Tar Heels already 2-0. They've done some hard. This is going to be an easy, you know, cruise to a couple road wins. What a great, or home wins. What a couple of easy start here for the Heels to get going in the ACC. It just felt like the game was secondary to a lot of in the feeling in the building on Saturday because everybody had assumed Carolina was going to win because they had already won these two road games.
Well, and I think,
and again, I don't say the team felt that way. I felt like that was the feeling in the building.
And by the time everyone caught on to the idea that, oh, this is a legitimate game, everybody was sitting there kind of going, all right, Tar Heels are going to hit some back-to-back threes right here and then call timeout and it'll be on. And the Tar Heels never hit back-to-back threes because they couldn't make any threes. They really couldn't make baskets. And so the momentum just never – Carolina never once had momentum in that game.
No, I agree with that. I'll just be able to see how the Tar Heels come out. You expect them to come out a lot better, certainly on Tuesday. That doesn't – or tonight, that doesn't guarantee the Tar Heels are going to win the game. But you figure they'll come out with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder because disappointed in the way that went. But
I thought the thing that was most interesting from the postgame was Kenny Williams, because Roy Williams said in his press conference he felt like the previous two practices had been very mediocre. Mm-hmm. And so somebody asked Kenny about that, and he said yes, and he said that he had been thinking about that in the locker just then. And he kind of regretted the fact that he had let these two practices go by as very mediocre, and he said, I didn't say anything. He said, I didn't say anything to any of my teammates. I didn't tell them that wasn't how we play. And he said, and then we came out and played like this. He said, so I've got to change what I do so that that kind of thing doesn't happen again. Now, it's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to be able to do it, because that's not easy to do. But I do think, I mean, clearly, something's going to have to be different. And I would be stunned if it's not tonight against Notre Dame.
Another just thing to think about, there are plenty of teams that are like Louisville in the ACC, but maybe even better at the moment. Virginia Tech, Florida State. I mean, some teams that are going to have big athletic dudes that are aggressive teams. And it seemed like Carolina kind of got hit and never really hit back, to your point about never having that momentum or that spurt. And you know, some of that, again, is the ball didn't go in. But they just could never find a way to get that momentum or get that forward push in this game.
Well, and Louisville did a great job of not letting Carolina run. And but part of that was because Louisville was making shots, yeah. and Coby White was out. So that's two big strikes against getting any kind of transition offense going. But if you're not making threes and you're not able to run, you got to figure out another way to score. And Carolina just couldn't figure it out. And I think if you were looking down the road to March and thinking of what kind of concerns you a little bit, what you said is exactly right, that it reminded me so much of the Texas A&M game. But also, if you look at Carolina's schedule and make a chart of the better teams they've played, the average teams they've played, and the not-as-good teams, Carolina's beaten the not-as-good teams, beaten the average teams. But the mix of really good teams they've played, that record's not so good. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a lot more of those as we get into February and March. So the Tar Heels got to figure out a way how to not just beat Notre Dame, but you're also going to have to beat the Virginia Techs and the Florida States.
And they'll see Louisville again in early February, February 2nd, so not that far from now, playing them again in Louisville. So they'll have their opportunity to play a little bit better. We'll see if they can get it done.
That's the rare home and home where you play the home game and then really look forward to the away game. It just cannot be worse than that. I don't often say that because I feel like it can always be worse. It can't be worse. It cannot be worse than Saturday. That was something is what that was. That was something. And I know people have thrown out a lot. Like, we got a couple tweets about, well, Carolina lost to Florida State in 2012 by 33. Yes, but that was very much Florida State went bananas. And we were both at that game, and they went crazy. But if you look at either side of that game, Carolina won the 10 games on either side of the Florida State game in 2012 by an average of 21 points a game. An average. They were just beating people down and had a fluky performance. This one came 3 weeks or so after some of the same issues came up in the Kentucky game. I think that's a little concerning.
Again, my final thought on this was probably also my first thought. The Heels have to find a way to win games if they aren't making three-pointers. They have to. And they haven't proven they can do that yet.
It's going to be interesting to hear from our friend Leakey what practice was like on Sunday morning. Because you played the noon game, then the Tar Heels were back practicing before noon on Sunday. And I would bet there was a pretty clear message and a lot of film.
So let's get to our conversation with Leakey. We'll come back. We'll get to Adam's list, some other stuff. Boy, we've been looking forward to this one, having a chance to talk to talented Tar Heel freshman Leakey Black. And let's get to that conversation now.
Folks, it's happened. Since August, we've been talking about this next person we're about to have as our guest. And finally, Leakey Black is here in the Mobile Pod World headquarters. Leakey, is this the classiest environment you've ever done an interview
yes,
in?
Yes, for sure. Yes, yes. I love it. I love it.
we wanted to make it nice for you. Now, yeah. We were just talking about what practice must have been like on Sunday. What was practice like on Sunday after the Louisville game?
Oh, wow. Really, we just wanted to focus on just learning from, you know, the game and just – focus on just getting better, watch a lot of film. So we've seen everything that we've done wrong. So, I mean, really it was just a learning day.
Watching film, is that something you did at all before you got – I mean, I know some guys in high school or they did watch some. Some people mm-hmm. never done it before. Had you done it before, and do you find it kind of – is it a learning experience to try and learn from film now?
Yeah, for sure. It was just something I've done since probably like my my junior year at Montverde Academy, mm-hmm. you know, going down there playing with Coach Boyle. So he's real, you know, ahead on the basketball game and stuff like that. So he pretty much sat us down. We watched film like every other day on teams we play and, you know, players that some big time players that we was playing against. So ever since then, I've just been picking up on that.
Coach Williams always likes to say that eye in the sky doesn't lie. Yeah. What's something that you've seen on film that you didn't think was true until you saw it and then you thought, oh, yeah, they got me right there?
Actually, the NC State turnover at the very end, mm-hmm. I thought his foot was like on the he was standing like on the the little out-of-bounds line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just tried to like throw it off his leg so it gets rolled out of bounds so we didn't have to call a timeout or anything like that. But really, I should have just called timeout. He had a little bit of room. I don't really know. Everything was just happening so fast. I should have just called timeout, but the film really
I told you what was up.
But you've only been here like 6 months. Is that long enough to feel comfortable calling one of Coach Williams' timeouts? Because he really likes his timeouts.
Honestly, yeah, because in the media timeout that we had, like we had just had before that, they had actually said that we had timeouts to call if we needed, like if we got in trouble. So I should have just called timeout. I don't really know what I was doing.
All right, now I think most people have probably heard it by now, but we need to go straight to the source. Give us the background on Leaky, how it came about, how you started going by Leaky, just that whole background for us.
Well, I've heard a couple stories, but I think the one that
the one that you believe.
Yeah, the one that I believe is honestly in Mount Pleasant, where like my whole family pretty much grew up, like where we all started from. All had nicknames for each other, like Butt Man, you know, T-Man, Man-Man, you know, like a whole bunch of names like that. So me, I think Leaky kind of came in with my Aunt Conda and my grandma. They kind of gave me that. It was a little bit based off my middle name, Malik. Got Leak and then Leaky, so, you know, all of those.
If you got to go Buttman or Leaky, I don't know. Those are both good ones.
Which member of your family was Buttman?
Cousins.
Do you like it? I mean, is it just what you've known?
Growing up, I didn't like it. I didn't like my classmates to know that was my name. But honestly, like, I think when I got to probably like eighth grade is when I started being okay with it, because, like, that's when the transition from high school. My mom was the principal at the high school that I was going to go to, and pretty much my whole family went there too. So everyone knew that my name was Leaky.
Right.
So it was just a matter of time before that transition came.
When's the last time someone called you Rayshon? Like, when your mom's mad, does she call you Rayshon? Like, how do you know?
It used to be like that, but now I can't remember the last time someone's called me Rayshon.
Really?
Yeah.
Your mom seems like she doesn't mess around.
Why do you say that? What makes you say that?
First of all, she's a principal.
Right.
And usually principals don't mess around.
Right.
And she just seems like she doesn't seem like she'd take a lot of lip off young Leaky.
For sure. Yeah, she definitely doesn't. she definitely doesn't. I don't know. It's just she's been a principal for like a long time now, so she's very straightforward and strict, yeah.
All right, give us kind of your thoughts on the season to this point, both for you individually and for the team. Clearly Saturday was disappointing, but big picture here, kind of where you think you guys are, where you are, and just your thoughts on what's been going on.
Me personally, I feel like I've definitely, you know, learned – you know, more and more, like, every day I've been here, I've definitely learned, and it's been a lot of growing, you know, since I've got here. And, like, the more I'm here, like, the more games and practices we have, like, the more comfortable I'm feeling, like, the more confident, like, I'm getting and stuff like that. So I really feel like my game's starting to click. But as a team, I feel like we're still talking about finding our identity and just buying in on like every little thing like the coaches are telling us to do. Obviously they know what they're doing. They won a couple championships, so I mean, it's just we just have to just come together and just honestly just put our foot down and just start competing like we know we can.
Coach Williams has talked some about how he admits, he said, I'm almost a little unfair to Leaky, but just how many different things he is trying to teach you to do. Play point guard some, even maybe play the four at some point in time.
Yeah.
Just how difficult is that to have so much stuff kind of thrown at you all at once?
It was difficult at first because, like, his offense, you know, just learning Roy Williams' offense is just like, it was just like another language to me almost. Like, it was just different positions. It was just a lot being thrown at me. But now, like I said, the more practices and games I've had, like, the more I picked up on it, so it's been coming like secondhand.
Coach Williams also said, and Jones will remember the exact wording here, but something to the effect of that you were the most advanced player defensively for a freshman that he had had. What do you think you do so well defensively, and maybe what has he told you about it?
I don't think he's told me much about it. I think he's trying to keep me humble in that part, but I like to think I play good defense, but honestly, this is something my dad has put into me ever since I was younger. You know, that's something that can't be taught playing defense. You just pride. You got to have pride in keeping your man in front of you and just sitting down and just having heart to play defense. So, I mean, that's just something I've always loved to do. It's a challenge. I'm always willing to take it.
All right, when did you kind of go from normal-sized person as somebody growing up to like this incredibly tall, long-armed young guy?
Honestly, I've been taller for my age, like my whole life. But like, I've been playing up a couple years. Like, when I was young, I started playing up. So it kind of, like, looked kind of normal until I actually played my regular age group. I don't remember what year it was, but I played my regular age group. And it was like, man, he kind of tall to be a point guard. So, I mean, I want to say that was around, like, eighth grade, seventh grade when I really started playing my age group.
you committed really early mm-hmm. to the Tar Heels. What prompted you to do that so early, kind of in your high school career?
Honestly, we had I think the first time Coach came to see me play was against this Hickory Ridge. It was one of our rivalries back home, and I didn't play good at all, and we lost the game actually. And he gave me a call afterwards, and he offered me on the spot. He was like, "I just love your game. You know, keep your head." He was basically telling me a whole bunch of things. It was like saying that he believed in me. And for me and my family to hear that, it was just like, oh, yeah, this is where we want to be. You know, he's going to grow you as a person and basketball player and all this stuff. So this is a no-brainer.
You mentioned you went down to Florida for that year down in Mount Verd. What was that experience like? Because that was your junior year, and then you came back to North Carolina, correct?
Right. Yeah, correct.
What was that experience like? What did you learn from going down there for that season?
I've learned the love of the game. Honestly, my love of the game went to a whole new level. It just showed me that nothing is given to you. Like, everything, you have to earn everything. And it's just pushed me to being in the gym more, you know, just trying to perfect my craft and just doing everything I can to, like, support my family, stuff like that, my main goals in life.
Are you aware of the existence of the leaky train?
I see my mom tweeting about it sometimes, but, like, you know, she tweets a lot, so I'm not really sure on what's that about.
Well, we'll tell you. All right. It all came about on the trip to the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And so we came back from the Bahamas, and we were doing a podcast talking about the games, mm-hmm. and we said we were impressed with Leaky Black.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And some reference was made to the fact that the leaky train was going to leave the station and we were going to be the conductors. And so ever since then, people tweet us all these things about all these, like, gifts and stuff of them trying to get a seat on the leaky train. People have made drawings of the leaky train. So the dream is you get a steal and a dunk, and then you're running back down the court doing the leaky train.
Oh, really?
And then Coach Williams probably benches you.
Don't do that part.
I can't really celebrate that much. Yeah.
So that's what the leaky train is. It's been ever since the Bahamas.
Oh, I love that.
So we were on board early.
I love it.
I'm trying to find the picture of the leaky train. Oh, here we go. Look, there's the leaky train. Somebody sent us that picture of – that's pretty good right there, isn't it?
Leaky train don't leak. Yeah, I like this. This is actually nice. It took some time and spent some time doing it.
That's pretty good.
We didn't do that because we're not that talented.
Yeah, I'm not either, but I like that, though.
So what is your life like when you're not playing basketball? What do you like to do? What is and also, what's transition to college life been like for you?
I'm going to start by saying I love Fortnite. So I played
really?
Yeah, I played out a lot with my roommate Ryan and Nas.
Ryan Kobe threw you under the bus the other night.
He did.
About
he?
The amount of time
yeah,
you spend on Fortnite. Do you want to take a shot back at him?
I do want to take a shot. I'm going to just say he plays Fortnite every second of the day that we don't have practice or like he has to be in class or anything. If he's not doing any, like, if he's not in class or practice, he's playing Fortnite. I guarantee it. So, like, I don't know why he decided to throw me under the bus. So, I don't know. That's something I'll take up with him. I'll talk to him about that later. Actually, I forgot about that. I'm glad you reminded me.
You're welcome.
Yep.
But man, you're not on it that much.
Oh, I am.
But, like,
not as much as him.
Compared to him?
Right.
No. There's no way. It's not humanly possible to be on it more than him.
Yeah, look, the bar is too high.
Yeah, the bar is too high. Like, I can't play more than him. It's not possible.
Are you good? Do you get victory royales?
Yes.
I just use the only terminology I know.
Victory royales. Yes. We get dubs in my room. In 5-1-0-3, we get dubs. That's our squad. Me, Kobe, Nas, and Ryan. We play four. We play a little squad. We get daily dubs.
Okay, let me ask you, because obviously I'm an old lame person who doesn't play for it. So what is it that has made this thing catch on so much?
I honestly don't know. I thought it was stupid at first. I really did. I hated it. I hated it at first because I sucked. I didn't really have anybody to play with. But then I got here, I seen that Ryan plays a lot.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to play with him. It was my first time playing with somebody else. And that, ever since, like, when he first got here and we started playing together, it was just, oh, this is going to be a daily thing.
Right.
So, do y'all ever play with other, like, random people?
Yeah.
How excited do they get if they ever figure out who they're playing with?
Actually, I put my Fortnite name on my Instagram one day, and like my Xbox blew up.
Yeah.
Like, it just blew up, and like, now whenever I open my Xbox, like, I turn my Xbox on, add it as a friend, requested Fortnite battle or something like that. It's nonstop.
So let me go back to the other part of that question. How has transitioning to college life been for you? Has it been, for some guys it's really easy, for some others it's not as much. How's it been for you?
Well, at first it was a little bumpy at first, study hall, class, just the workouts we do. We start off in summer doing like 2-a-days, and then sometimes 3-a-days when I want to work out with like my trainer from back home. They come up here and like help me work out and stuff like that. So it was definitely rough at first, but now we're just starting to click. Feels pretty good.
Has having Kobe and Nas, are you guys pretty tight? I mean, has having a group of you guys together helped out?
Yeah, for sure. Since we are all new, we're all like we went through the whole process together. So I mean, it was just a learning process, and I feel like we're good now.
I've heard you and Kobe talking on the bus sometimes, and y'all have like a frame of reference that goes back several years. How long have y'all known each other, kind of in basketball world?
Ooh, I've known of Kobe like probably when like we all first started blowing up, kind of like the end of our freshman year, sophomore year kind of thing. I seen him on Twitter, Phenom Hoops like tweeted him out, like it would tweet his picture like every other day because he was like getting buckets. I remember like reading the tweets and he was just blowing up, and I seen his little fro or whatever. I was like, oh, this guy's pretty good. And I seen that he committed to UNC. I was like, oh, like, well, yeah, like then we started talking, communicating a little bit, not too much though. It was like we didn't want to step on each other's toes and anything like that. But and then that's when I left, played with Team Loaded. I came back and played with CP3. The year I left and played with Team Loaded, he came with CP3. So, like, my friends, like, the AAU team I started off with, they kind of got cool with him as I left. So, like, we all still kind of stay connected in a way. But, yeah, when I came back, it was just we all clicked. It was just, yeah, it's like a family. It's like I never really left.
I heard you were a big movies and music guy. What's something that we should be listening to right now? And something we wouldn't expect that you listen
now,
to.
Now, keep in mind, Adam's wearing that sweater vest today.
Yeah, before that's you what I'm thinking the, about. I don't think y'all would understand. I don't think you would know, like, some of the artists. I'm just saying, I don't think you would know some of the artists that I listen to.
That's a little hurtful right
Leaky
there.
Leaky Train just ran over you. Yeah, right that's
I'm just as down with the Temptations as anybody, I'll have you know. And I think they're about as hip as it gets.
Well, I'm not sure. I listen to pretty much like everything, like literally everything, like reggae, Michael Jackson. I listen to some gospel.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. DaBaby. You know who DaBaby is?
Nope.
See, Lil Baby.
Do you know?
Of course I do.
You
what?
Did not. You're saying.
You know who Lil Baby is?
I know Big Baby.
Oh my! Who's Big Baby?
He played basketball.
Oh, you talking about Glenn Davis?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I know. Lil Baby, our warm up music. All those guys. Mm-hmm. Listen to them. Lil Wayne, J. Cole. Yeah,
I've heard of both those individuals.
But I listen to DaBaby like more than anyone. Okay. And you don't know.
I'm gonna have to look that up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, clean version.
I can see Adam going now, like putting his glasses on. He's like, "All right, DaBaby," as he types it into the. Look, where's the Google machine? Let me put in DaBaby.
I'm gonna be in carpool this afternoon picking up the kids. They're gonna be like, "What is this?" I'm gonna be like, "This is DaBaby. My friend Leaky listens to this gentleman all the time." What about movies? I mean, I've heard of several movies also. So, like, what are some of your favorites?
What movies have you heard of?
Have you ever heard of Roadhouse?
No.
What? You've never heard of Roadhouse?
No.
Leaky, you do have to watch Roadhouse.
Well, you got
to
remember, Leaky was born like 15 years after that movie came out. What year were you born?
99.
Oh, my gosh.
Ouch.
That hurts. All right.
I'm a little offended.
Yeah, that's all right. All right, give us some good movies. Give us some Leaky. So this is what we do here on the podcast. Every now and then, every couple of weeks, we review a movie, mm-hmm. like within what we're doing around Carolina as well. Give us a couple of good movies that we need to review, that we need to add to our list of ones that we need to check out.
Mm.
These are Leaky approved.
I don't know about that. Training Day. That's a good one.
Okay. Yeah, okay. All right. Day. That can go on the list.
I'm a big Hulk fan, so I'm going to say Avengers.
Yeah. Oh, see, now I've talked about this with Michael Carter from the football team this year. I had never seen anything, none of the Avengers, no Marvel Cinematic, didn't know anything about it. I got into it this past summer. Now I'm all in, dude.
Yeah,
you gotta
be all in.
My mind is so freaking ready for Endgame. I can't even handle it, dude.
Retweet.
I'm so excited.
Me too. Yep.
What do you think's going to happen?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
I don't even know what to think. Like, I don't know.
When you two girls finish chatting, I'll be over here listening to DaBaby.
Yeah. You need to get into it, man. I'm serious. It's really, really good.
No, it really is.
I can't keep straight. So you like Hulk, which huh? one?
Yeah, I love the Hulk.
I'm a
yeah.
big Thor guy.
Really?
I like Thor. Primarily like just because of that one scene where he showed up in Wakanda during Infinity War.
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
the music's, like,
oh,
kidding,
yeah,
you know
yeah,
what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, he's big time.
I like Han Solo.
Like R2-D2.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, come on, Leaky. You've seen Star Wars.
Star Wars.
I haven't.
We got to get... Oh. All right.
We've got some work to do.
Yeah, we got some work to do with these kids. Get the baby fired up. We'll get Leaky watching Star Wars. All right, Leaky. Okay, moving forward. Kind of what are some things you're working on right now, basketball-wise? And actually, before I get to that, ultimately, kind of where do you see yourself basketball-wise? Point guard, kind of positionless in there? Just where do you see yourself fitting in ultimately with Carolina?
Just positionless. You know, like kind of like what Theo did, pretty much play everything.
Sure.
You know, anything the team needed at the time. So that's how I want to look at it.
And it seems like, just from me viewing you, that you've really been working on your jump shot and mm-hmm. trying to kind of improve that aspect of your game. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, for sure. I've been coming in probably like 2 times a week at night just to, you know, get in here by myself and just shoot. You know, I like it's a real stress reliever. So I like to just get a good feel for the court and stuff like that. So I'm trying to get more consistent with my shot. So. Mm-hmm.
Your mid-range is already pretty good.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Been working on it.
What's the most challenging thing basketball-wise that you're being asked to do right now, even if it's something that like we might not realize is difficult?
Honestly, just the jump from high school to college, you know, in general, is just like everything is just a level up. Like, you know, the physicality of the game, you know, guys being able to go like on a – every night, like everybody you play, like somebody on that team is like a big time player.
Sure.
So it's just not even just like one guy, it's like the whole team is like pretty good. So it's just coming in and just being ready for that, like just being able to step up and just, you know, being a freshman, just being ready to step up with these college guys and just give them a run for their money.
Let me go back to what I was going to ask you before. Kind of now moving forward. Kind of where's your focus here over the next couple of weeks as you try to get better, as team tries to get better, as you're moving here towards the end of ACC play?
You said it pretty much, just getting better every day. You know, as cliche as that sounds, it's just that's really the focus. This is a process. So you just want to look at it as it's a long season, but you just want to take it one day at a time, just get better and better and better every day, and hopefully you come out on the good side.
Appreciate Leaky's time and looking forward to watching him continue to grow as a Tar Heel, Adam. And I think we both agree that, as we've said on here before, both in jest and seriously, that he's going to be really, really good. He just has a very impressive skill set and seems to be a good young guy and works hard, and looking forward to seeing him get better.
Yeah, I hope recent comers to the pod don't interpret it as though we're like jokingly saying that we love Leaky.
Yeah.
It's an actual love that was born back in the Bahamas and has been nurtured, and we look forward to it even expanding over the next couple of years as he gets better and better.
Carolina Insider brought to you by Circle K. Circle K prides itself on providing customers what they need when they need it. They take care of people's time and have terrific items like ice-cold Coca-Cola and clean stores. Circle K, how can you justify Adam Lucas not going to Circle K? I actually, Adam, was in Winston-Salem on Thursday of this past week for a big merger announcement between Learfield, parent company of Tar Heel Sports Network, and the Carolina Insider.
I thought you were going to say between like Circle K and Cookout. That would have been awesome.
And IMG College, these two have merged together to become a large company in our business. And so when I was on the way back to Chapel Hill, I like to, whenever I'm on the road, I've told you this before, I like to get a pack of Nabs and a Diet Coke or a Diet Dr. Pepper, one of the two. And so found myself a nice, clean, comfortable Circle K right there in Kernersville. Swept on in there, got myself some crackers and Coke, and had a pleasant little ride home after that.
My understanding is that those merger talks went something like this. IMG, do we get the pod? Learfield, I think we can arrange that. IMG, here's a whole suitcase full of money.
Yeah, it's done. It's a done deal. We're all together now. And in reality, this really is a big deal kind of in the college media landscape. And enjoyed being there on Thursday, hosted the event along with David Shumate, who does the play-by-play for Duke, Gary Hahn, who does the play-by-play for State, and Stan Cotton, who does the play-by-play for Wake Forest. And so we were kind of the visual representations, Adam, of, hey, maybe rivals in some sense, but we can also come together.
If I can change, people can change.
And you can change.
Everybody can change.
So, enjoyed that event and certainly enjoyed my stop at Circle K to get my pack of nabs afterwards. StubHub, whether your favorite seat's courtside or comes with a bird's eye view, head to StubHub, grab 100% verified tickets so you know you'll get in. After all, they've been hooking up fans with amazing seats for more than 17 years. Official fan-to-fan ticket marketplace of Carolina Athletics. UNC Healthcare Know Your Stats feature brought to you by UNC Healthcare, MyUNC Chart. Visit myunccharter.org to sign up. Adam, there are not a lot of pleasant stats from this game. It was Carolina's worst shooting percentage of the year, their lowest scoring game of the year, their worst three-point shooting percentage of the year, their lowest scoring half of the year, and their worst shooting half of the season as well. Other than that, it was terrific.
Steve Kirshner sends out that post-game email with kind of notes from the game.
Right.
Carolina's director of athletic communications. And one of the bullet points was like, Carolina set season lows in, and like five lines of text later, you were still going in the categories. It should have just said all of them.
Yeah. Carolina celebrating its 225th birthday this year to see the impact Tar Heels make every day. Learn about what's happening at UNC, visit unc.edu. Adam is on there right now, just browsing some stories.
Yeah.
Adam, do you have a list?
I do.
Let's go.
What's on the top of Adam's list? Brought to you by Top of the Hill, where Tar Heels come to celebrate.
First item on the list was, I think it was a DM perhaps or a tweet from Jason Hutchins. He wanted to know if we had seen the ad picturing Drew Brees at CVS. Have you seen this ad?
I have not seen this ad.
He was very disappointed that they used Drew Brees instead of my dad.
Yeah.
He felt like since my dad is CVS royalty, that would have been a logical play.
Makes sense.
For them to make. It was for like touch your credit card on the screen and pay that way rather than having to hand the card over or whatever. I can tell you that I do not believe my dad would pay in that fashion anyway. So it's possible that it was offered to him and he turned it down. Because he didn't think it'd be authentic.
I understand that.
He'd probably like write a check. Or more likely, CVS would pay him after all the coupons were used.
What's Drew Brees done anyway?
That's kind of my point, too. Kevin Davis tweeted at us and said that he saw a picture in a tweet from Inside Carolina.
Whoa, this is getting...
About football recruiting.
Okay.
Now, Inside Carolina does a great job with recruiting stuff. And so I believe there might have been something like a commitment or something. And in the picture of this gentleman, I was in the background.
Oh, really?
Making an extremely bizarre face. Mm. And Kevin's question was, what in the world is happening with Adam's face?
Hey, you know what, Adam? I would never – I don't even know this feeling that you have right now.
If you put my face on your legs from that other picture, it would be like the happiest ballerina ever.
Yeah.
I can tell you what happened, Kevin. I remember this moment exactly from Saturday's game. I was walking out along the baseline with my wife and our older daughter and a friend of ours, and they asked us to stop. Well,
did they also ask you to collaborate? And
no, they said Mac was back with a brand new edition. And so I, of course, followed the rules.
Yeah.
And so I waited there. As will not surprise anyone who knows the people involved, my wife elected to just keep going.
Yeah.
And so at that moment the picture was taken, I was turning to our friend and saying, well, really no surprise that my wife just went on while the rest of us behaved and played by the rules right here. So that's what I was saying, and I'm glad that it was captured for posterity and will be forever remembered fondly. We got to meet Ryan Cook before the game on Saturday and get an arms cross picture. Outcome of the game, not so good, but very nice to meet Ryan. Brandon Fritz coming back to the Tar Heels.
That was good to see. He had originally said that he was going to play his final year of eligibility somewhere else, but changed his mind. I will say this, Adam. A lot of positive vibes around football.
Yes.
It's exciting. It really is exciting. I was thinking about that this morning, that I think this is as much excitement as there's been around Carolina football in a decade. And that's no slap to Coach Fedora or anybody else. Maybe other the 11-1 season, I think there was a lot of excitement. But there's just a lot of anticipation. And it's a different type of anticipation. I think there's the different excitement when you're in a season and playing well compared to the excitement of what you think is coming later.
Right.
And, you know, that's why people love recruiting so much, is because it's that enticing thought of what it could be. And so I think that's we're in that honeymoon phase right now where it's like, oh man, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, it's one thing to have excitement because you're winning. It's another to have anticipation that you're looking forward to playing.
Yeah.
I think that's
where we are.
That's what the Tar Heels have right now.
Yes.
Director of Pond Security, Rusty Cotterman, sent us a good Leaky Train graphic in which we have the hard eyes and you're doing your crazy leg thing and Leaky is driving the Leaky Train. Put it on a T-shirt.
Except for that's a violation, so don't put it on a T-shirt.
If you put it on a T-shirt, you'll be thrown in jail.
Forever.
But I would buy two. Last thing on the list, you know what I really like? Here's kind of a quick vacation from life, except when it's about a bad game like Saturday. Daggum Box Scores Twitter. Mm. They do good work. I like that. They put up like some videos of important plays, and they have good stats. I like that.
Me too. Okay, so we received a DM from our friend Ben Johnston. And he said, this just happened. I couldn't not share it with you guys. And it appears to be a screenshot of some kind of conversation that I'm assuming Ben had with his friend.
Okay.
It goes like this.
Uh-huh.
Ben's friend. I'm reading this word for word. Word. That's the first thing. And then it says, wait, wait, wait. So I brought in some Skittles, which I haven't had for a long time. When did they change the green to green apple? Ben, I'm assuming. Dude, with multiple U's. A long time ago, there was a petition to make them switch it back to lime. Ben's friend. And why? Green apple is terrible. I would have signed that petition. I've never seen the point of green apple flavors. Gross. Serious question for you. Do you split up your Skittles into different colors and eat them separate, or are you a barbarian? Ben's response, oh, come on, you split them up and eat them least favorite to favorite. So, couple things. The green apple Skittles remain terrible. Yes, there is no denying this. I split my Skittles up by color as well. I go green, although it didn't used to be green. And sometimes I even throw away the green. Like, I won't even dignify the green apple with a response to them.
You got to keep them separated.
Yeah. Then I go orange.
Okay.
Then yellow. Then red.
Yep.
Then purple.
Yes.
Is that what you do? Or do you? And every now and then I'll just get a good old handful and be like, you know what, boys, we're all jumping in the pool together.
That's what I'm feeling really crazy.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting loco.
It's going to be a wild Saturday night.
Now I will separate the rest. I typically separate. But really the only ones I really strongly like are red and purple.
Mm.
So what I usually try to do is pawn off the others on like a kid or something and try to make it look like I'm being nice. But really I don't even want those.
Yeah.
And I'm giving them to make myself look and feel better about myself. Plus, then I feel like I've given away half the bag of Skittles. I could probably have like a Snickers Crisper or maybe like a Three Musketeers.
Ooh.
to offset the fact that I gave away half.
Two things. I hope you saw Bubba Cunningham sent out a tweet of the final beam going into the skeleton of the building which will house the new Podworld headquarters.
I'm very angry about this, Jones.
Uh-oh.
extremely angry. Friday night, I was at the basketball museum. Mm-hmm. And when I was coming out of the basketball museum, I saw they had the top beam sitting there.
You could sign it.
You could sign it. And I thought, well, I don't have a Sharpie on me right now because I'm not Jones.
Yeah. That's your mistake.
Because I was going to write "See you later, Big Grits" on there.
Oh, man. That would have been great.
I thought so, too. And I was going to take a picture, social media. It was all going to come together in a nice cohesive package. I thought, oh, it's fine. I'll do it another day. Monday, they put the beam on the building.
Yep, that was it. You missed your chance.
Well, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to sneak in under cover of darkness. Well, no, and I'm not going to go to the top. I'm going to go like down near the bottom where the pod headquarters will be, and I'm going to write SYLBG right on there.
You're sneaky.
But I was so mad that it happened so quickly. But there's no telling how long the beam had been sitting out there. It could have been months for all I know.
No, just a couple days.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
You know, I was thinking about it today. I was like, gosh, we're really close to getting into Pablo headquarters, but we're really not. We're about halfway. We're a little more than half of our mobile-only time period.
Do you think that when we go back to regular pod or, like, luxurious pod headquarters, we're going to kind of miss mobile in a way?
Well, here's the good news. We'll still be able to be mobile. We can go mobile at any time.
I feel like... like, there might be a game or something where we might want to pod after dark, and we're going to be like, you know what? We're doing it in the mobile headquarters just for old time's sake. Like a throwback jersey day.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, so I've been giving this a little bit of thought, and you saying it right then made me think about it again. You said, I don't even want this.
Right.
And this is one of our favorite sayings
on
the pod.
Yeah.
There's a background, I don't even want this.
Yes.
We have actually told this story before on the pod, but I took it out.
Right.
I feel like it's time that we can do it.
I think that's okay.
Can we do it?
Sure.
All right, you've got to tell it. It's your story. I know you weren't prepared for this.
No,
I
wasn't.
I didn't
get a chance to get my notes together.
The farther away we get,
You're talking about time, so I think that's further.
Further.
FAR is distance.
Yeah. So the further away we get from it, like, I feel like the details are going to start to get hazy.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that.
I mean, I feel like this has to happen.
I'm hazy right now. Okay, so this story takes place, as many great stories do.
Should Mr. Goosehonkers play this story out, or is this just a separate story?
I don't know. That's up to you.
I'd say Mr. Goosehonkers is involved.
Okay.
So... cue up Mr. Goosehonkers, because Adam's story starts like this.
It was, not surprisingly, a bone-chillingly cold evening in Chestnut Hill,
where many great stories begin.
The Tar Heel basketball Warriors had journeyed to Boston College to face Al Skinner.
Oh, just to put a little window of time on this bad
I'm giving
boy for you.
I think we're thinking 2008-09, somewhere in there, right in that time frame. The Tar Heel, it was a night game on a weekday. The Tar Heels won the game. However, as often happens in Boston College, there was some inclement weather.
Yeah, made things tricky.
The winds were chilly that night, my friend. The snow was potentially going to fall.
Yep.
And there was some concern about whether people would be able to leave the area.
Yep. Would we all be caught in Chestnut Hill for a long period of time, or would we be able to join civilization down in Chapel Hill? We didn't know.
My guess is we've spent more time in Chestnut Hill
worried about
not being able to leave than any other place in the ACC. That would be my guess. So one person who was not able to leave was Mr. Dick Vitale. And...
a diaper dandy, some say.
And his... assistant friend?
Yeah.
Former Dodgers pitcher. I can't remember his name, but he was a former pitcher for the Dodgers.
It really didn't make any sense. That part.
Just those two.
Yeah.
Whoever did the play-by-play for that game, I don't know what happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
We arrived back at the airport to find Dick Vitale and former Dodgers pitcher. It was not Sandy Koufax.
No. I'm trying to remember who it was, but I can't.
A couple steps below Sandy Koufax. It was not Oral Hershiser. Mr. Dick Vitale was extremely upset that he was not going to be able to leave due to the weather or some other circumstance that was a little unclear.
Yep.
So it was eventually decided that Dick Vitale would travel part of the way home with us because North Carolina is closer to home than Chestnut Hill for Dick Vitale. His home's in Florida.
Right.
Therefore, we boarded the plane. I happened to be across the aisle from Dick Vitale and his assistant slash friend, whose name was former Dodgers pitcher. And it had been a late game. And it, as you know, if you go to many of these late games, it doesn't matter if it starts at 7, 8, or 9. When the game is over, you feel like it's dinner time. Or perhaps breakfast time, depending on exactly what's happening. You're hungry. Well, Mr. Dick Vitale, he was hungry too. Luckily, former Dodgers pitcher had gotten them some food in the little plastic carry-on, the carry-out case.
Yeah.
So as the plane taxis down the runway and begins its ascent into the stormy clouds, former Dodgers pitcher, I feel like it was something like Tom Candiotti, but it wasn't.
No, it wasn't Tom Candiotti.
In that realm.
Right.
So, this person begins passing out the food, and he hands Dick Vitale what he had ordered, which turned out to be a salad.
A sensible choice.
A healthy choice for a late night meal.
Yeah, for Dickie V.
That's what you would expect. So, the plane begins to go up. Dick Vitale looks at his salad. He's a little angered by this salad. Because there is, I believe there was no silverware slash plasticware, and also there was something not on the salad that he wanted, but I can't remember what it was. Let's say tomatoes. No tomatoes on Dick Vitale's salad. Dick Vitale goes from jovial diaper dandy.
Right, the normal Dick Vitale.
Happy-go-lucky, yeah. Great guy to be around. He goes from that to Billy Packer. In 0.2 seconds. He is frustrated by the salad. He slams down the carry-out container, pushes it back across at former Dodgers pitcher, and says, I don't even want this. Leaving former Dodgers pitcher with an uneaten salad and an angry Dick Vitale.
Yeah.
I don't even want this. And ever since then, whenever something is...
Like the Louisville game. I don't even want this.
Right. Like, here, I'm going to give you back the Louisville game in an angry fashion. I don't even want this Louisville game. I don't even want these yellow Skittles. You can use it in any part of your life, really. And we have done that since then. I mean, it's one of those things, like many things from Chestnut Hill, that have lived forever.
Well, it's like it's almost like See You Later, Big Grits. It's gone beyond the origin of the story, and now it is its own entity.
Right. It's expanded out into the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the ultimate would be if, like, Berlingo said, I don't even want this. Then I don't even want this Big Grits. Then you'd have, like, the whole world in one little phrase. It would be perfect. And in, like, 10 more years, we'll tell you about Berlingo. But for now, that's when Dick Vitale got angry and said, I don't even want this. And I've said that probably at least weekly since then.
That's like, and I don't even remember the story, but our good friend Ken Cleary has some funny story where the punchline is like this person, whoever it was. And again, I don't remember the story at all, but the punchline was the person just goes, everything's wrong. And so now, when things are going poorly, again, like the Louisville game, everything's wrong. I don't even want this. Thank you, Dick Vitale, for, again, adding to our popular culture.
A very nice guy.
Very nice guy. Adam, anything else?
I think that's all.
So, one thing we do want is Leaky Black getting us out of here on this Carolina Insider. By the way, before we go, before we go, Adam, did you see the, I'll call it a viral video, from Carolina football.
Did I have a cat?
From Carolina football and the first team meeting with the coaching staff and the players, where Tim Cross, new Tar Heel D-line coach, absolutely loses his mind.
Did I see that video? Let me think. Let's get this work! Let's get this work, Jones!
Let's get this work. I like it.
I did see that.
Tim Cross bringing some heat.
Yeah. When he started talking.
Yeah. Oh, and he had his eyes were watering a little bit because he was so emotional.
I like the part where you could see Mac Brown standing behind him.
Yeah.
And Mac Brown had this smile on his face like, this guy is awesome. Good hire by the head coach.
And he just started random, like going up and just giving high fives to people.
Yeah. That's what I do when I talk to people.
Tamon Fox. I could tell like Tamon Fox was like, I think I should give him a high five.
Yes. What if I'm going to get in trouble?
So we are trying to get this work. We're working on trying to go. We're going to try to skew towards football for our guest, second guest this week. We're laying down the plans. Haven't locked it up yet, but we're trying to get this work. So we'll see how we go. But for today, we're going to let Leaky Black and the RZA get us out of here on the latest edition of the Carolina.
This is Leaky Black. See you later, Big Grits.
When I was small, nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
Pound box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
See you later, Big Grit.
The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.